Let us turn to second epistle of Corinthians chapter 9. And our subject this afternoon is giving as unto God. And our main text is in the verse 7. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Now, though the context of chapter 9 concerns is regarding Paul's encouragement to the church at Corinth to be ready to prepare themselves as they have wanted to do so or has expressed their desire to support financially to the needy saints of Macedonia, and also Paul's here is in this chapter is to instruct them in the importance of cheerful giving. I'm not approaching this text to speak on financial giving. I'm approaching this text to speak to you on spiritual gifts, which the Holy Spirit dispenses to every believer, and how we ought to, in our giving, so to speak, as unto the Lord, as and not as unto Paul say, out of necessity, you know, but out of love for God and love for God's people. So this is, it is in this sense that I am approaching this text. So we all know that in the Church of Christ, there are various forms of service or various forms of ministry that we can participate or that we can give of our talent in all this various ministry, whether be it the ministry of Sunday school or Bible study, whatever, or even in the ministry of giving as in financial giving in support of the work of the church or work of the gospel. We know that there are various forms. There are some of our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ who are given the gift of edifying others. The Holy Spirit is pleased to give such gifts to some. And so they are gifted to diligently instruct the brethren concerning the word of God and to expound the word of God. To others, it is given the gift of evangelizing. They are able to break up fresh ground. They are able to go out or in whatever way possible to share the gospel, to win the unconverted, to sow the gospel seed wherever the opportunities arise. Many in Christ's family are not enabled either to be teachers or Bible study leaders or winning of souls. But all of us as Christians, we are called by the duties of a humble, quiet life to beautify the doctrine of God, our Savior, in all things. Meaning to say, we are to give of ourselves. We are to minister with our life, whatever the gift may be. But the giving is giving of our whole being, not just giving in the sense of our talents and gift, but giving of our whole self as unto God. These are as such should be seen to in our conduct, in our daily conduct. It's always such that we should conduct ourselves as becomes the gospel of Christ. We as Christian believers, we ought to be very conscious of our conduct, of our testimony as becomes the gospel of Christ, and it befits the household of faith. And it should be our earnest prayer that what is preached by some may be illustrated by others, the Christians, in their daily walk and lifestyle. Then there is other in the portion of the church who are called, or who is called, to yet a very hard and difficult service or difficult ministry, and that is namely of suffering. God sees fit to put them through deep waters, put them through the fiery furnace, and of course, it is difficult for us to fully comprehend why, but yet, nevertheless, it is part of God's plan to put some of our brethren through suffering. And at the end, God gets a glory even out of the fire of affliction when his people will finally, ultimately be able to sing his praise even on their beds. And God will receive as much honor from the sick bed as from the pulpit, and those of his servants who are called to lie in hospital or on deathbed or on sick bed are as acceptable soldiers as those whom he commands to the front of, or to the front line of the battle. We must all expect to take our turn, brethren, in tribulation according to the purpose of God. When we are commanded to do so, we must take up our cross cheerfully and follow our Lord Jesus Christ. To all members of the body of Christ, young and old, it is given, and to each member his measure, to serve God by giving. Some are enabled, being made stewards of wealth. They are able or enabled to give of their substance in a very large way. And they are bound to do so, but they should give as their privilege to give whatsoever they can to God. And who give it is for it is God who give them all, and it is God who is their all. The poorest Christians also is not exempted from this privilege. If he or she has but little, God accepts according to that which a man hath or has, and not according to that which he has not. And if he be so poor, or she be so poor as a Christian, that he or she cannot even give the two mites like the widow, still, he or she may give to God of his time, give to God of his energy. He may give to God of such ability as he has in whatever form of service, which shall come conveniently within his reach, as God so give it to him or her. But none of us must escape from being givers to God in some way, whether it be in a small way or a big way. We cannot escape from that, for we are all receivers and should be all dispensers. Give him our prayers. Give him our praise. Give God such efforts as we can. But let us all be givers, and let us take heed to the text that tells us or teaches us, be a cheerful giver also. Not just give, but be a cheerful giver. Our text supplies us the lessons that as giving is a part of Christian service, the right way to do it is the way which God himself accepts. And that way is the cheerful, or giving cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. Let us open up this verse to firstly consider what a cheerful giver is. Secondly, why God loves such giver. And then thirdly, if time permits, why we who are God's people should be such giver. So our first head what is cheerful, or rather, what is cheerful giving, or what is a cheerful giver? The rest of the verse tells us what is not meant. And so that helps us to see what is intended. And so we see there, not grudgingly, nor of necessity, for God loves or loveth a cheerful giver. Not grudgingly, meaning to say, not giving as though you wish you would avoid it. Therefore, giving as little as possible, counting the pence, but giving with an ease, giving as with a spontaneous spirit, giving with a freeness of spirit, a pleasure, a joy to give. This is a cheerful giver. To be this kind of giver, one must give proportionately, for cheerful givers reckon how much they should give, how much as faithful stewards may be expected at their hands. There are Christians who suppose that the Jews give only the tenth of their substance or their income to God, as we read it in the Old Testament. But we are mistaken to think that the Jews only give the tenth. The tenth was the payment which the Jews must make. But after that came what? Came all the freewill offerings and all the various gifts at different seasons of the year. So God's people in the Old Testament certainly give more than a tenth. But the point is not how much to give, rather giving as unto God out of a cheerful heart. Give, brethren, as you have purpose in your heart. And as I said, we are not talking about just giving of your money, giving of your substance, but giving of your life and giving it as unto the Lord. And giving proportionately as the Lord has prospered you, as the Lord has blessed you. And do not make your estimate of what you ought to give by what will appear respectable from you, or by what is expected from you by other people. No, we do not give in such spirit, but rather as in the sight of the Lord, as He loves a cheerful giver, and as a cheerful giver is a proportionate giver. However, a cheerful giver is also a willing giver. He ought to be like the honeycomb dropping spontaneously with pure honey, all too glad if we may but be accepted in our gifts through Christ Jesus, who is the author and who renders both the offerer and the offering acceptable unto God. We ought not to need to be preached at, to be exalted, and to be pressed by public appeals and private solicitations. It should be spontaneous, as it is said of the church at Corinth, touching the ministering to the saints, it is superfluous for me to write to you. Be a proportionate giver then, and a willing giver. Next, the cheerful giver is also one who gives very earnestly. And there is a way of giving earnestly, especially when the gift is that of your time and of your service. Some give God their time on the Lord's Day, but they are half asleep. Some give God their efforts in school or in the classes or streets preaching, but they never seem to throw their souls into their engagement. There is no heart in it. What the church needs today or nowadays is a more cheerful, wholehearted worship and service to God and to His people. If the minister and the members of the church are all on fire for God or unto God, what a difference it would be, isn't it? If our worship service, or rather if our worship and service were all cheerful in the sense of being intense from the heart, full of force, the man's whole person or the whole being thrown into such service, into such devotion to God, into such worship of God, what a bright and happy seasons of revival we might expect for in this sense. For God loves a cheerful giver who comes to worship not out of duty, but because it is an, or rather, neither does the person come to worship out of a matter of routine, or that people force him or wants him or her to come to worship, but comes because he loves to tell of Jesus' love, loves to try to win souls, loves to declare the whole counsel of God, loves to look those fellow believers in the face and pray with them, long to have fellowship with them, love to take those children along and teach them this of the Savior who bled and died for their sin. Where there is loving, living and lively and vibrant worship and service from the soul, there must be a blessing. You can be assured of that. God honors that. But if we do not worship and serve our Master cheerfully, and consequently do not do it earnestly, God will not accept our worship and service, and nothing will come out of it. It is vanity. Brethren, it is this cheerfulness, this heartiness, this wholeheartedness, this intenseness, this fire of the soul, which God loves. Oh, that we may all, particularly our congregation, New Life BPC London, that we may all pray for and get it. Ask that the Holy Spirit will work this in our hearts, that we may be such doers and such givers that God loves dearly. Now, I come to my second head. Why does God love a cheerful giver? Why does God love a cheerful giver? And this sentence is not spoken of all sorts of people. Verse 7, I like you to take careful note. Verse 7 is addressed to the members of a Christian church. It is the believers. This verse is addressed to the believers, and this verse speaks of a cheerful Christian giving from the heart as unto God. God loves them all, but he has a special notice on those by his grace who has taught to be cheerful givers. A cheerful giver who was not a Christian would not at all come under the statement here made in this verse. He would still be one with whom God is angry every day. It is of those people who were redeemed by the blood of Christ, Christian believers, joined to the Christian church, that it is said, or that God said, God loveth or loves a cheerful giver. So observe, first of all, God loves a cheerful giver. For God made the world on the plan of cheerful giving. And as a great architect who loves all that is consistent with his plan, God has made the whole world on this plan of giving. Let me explain. Look at the sun. What a sphere of splendor and wonder, isn't it? What a glorious creation of God. Why is it bright? Because it is giving away its light. Why is it glorious? Because it is scattering its beam on all sides. Imagine that there is no sun. Where would it be? Where would we have our light? Where would the brightness be and the warmth of the sun ray? It is in the magnificent generosity of our great and mighty God that his glory consists. It is the grandest of ops to us because it gives us so much of that vitalizing force, which is heat, light, and life. Then look also, besides looking up, we look down. Look at this earth beneath our feet. What is its excellence? But in that which it gives, isn't it? The earth gives and produces the fruit. Where are the countries where men rejoice to praise that it is their fatherland or their home country? Are they not those fertile hills and plains which produce with superabundant harvest given forth from earth's stores that men may celebrate and be glad and rejoice? And then look at the rivers. All the rivers run into the sea. The sea feeds the cloud. The clouds empty out their treasure and the earth gives back the rain in fertility. And so it is an endless cycle or endless chain of giving generosity. Generosity reigns supreme in nature. There is nothing in this world but lives or by giving. The cheerful giver is one who is marching to the music of the sphere. He is in order with God's general or rather great natural law. And God therefore loves him since God sees his own work in the cheerful giver. Moreover, God loves a cheerful giver because grace has placed such a man in order with the laws of redemption as well as the laws of nature. And what are these? We who are called Calvinists, we delight what? We delight in asserting or affirming that the whole economy of the gospel is that of grace. It is all of free grace from first to last, and not in any measure or degree a matter of debt and reward. No, eternal life is not a thing to be earned or to be won by man, but is the result and exercise of the free grace of God. If there be no election, or rather sorry, if there be election, it is free election springing from what? Springing from, not from any goodness in us. If there be redemption, thanks be unto God for his unspeakable gift. If there be a calling, if there be justification, if there be sanctification, everywhere we see, what do we see? The freeness of the work of the great giver. God gives liberally and withholds not in any good thing to his people. He stands in the work of grace as a wondrous, generous giver. Now, the Christian man or the professed Christian man who is not a giver or may be a giver, but he is not a cheerful giver, is out of order with the system which revolves around the covenant of grace and the cross of Christ. He or she is out of order with the eternal purposes of the Most High God. He is not running in current of divine grace at all, but as the spirit of the gospel is all freeness and grace and love and reward, the man is out of harmony with it and does not understand it at all. Because then the cheerful giver made so by divine grace, that cheerful giver with the spirit of God dwells in him, keeps in tune with redemption and nature after his own measure and calling. He is commended of the Lord Jesus. But there is also another reason why God loves a cheerful giver, namely because God is a cheerful giver himself. Man, we sinful man generally loves that which is like himself. We gratify ourselves in that way. Now God the Father is the most cheerful of all givers. Think of it. He who spare not his own son. Oh, what a wonderful gift, isn't it? And you mothers, or even fathers, could you give your sons? And fathers, Could you spare your children? Well, yes. Perhaps you might, for your own country, spare your son and give up your son, like in the current situation right now in Ukraine. You may. But would you consider this carefully? Think this carefully. Would you give up your sons and your daughters? Or would you give up your children or spare your children for your enemies, which our Lord Jesus Christ, which our Heavenly Father did by giving His Son while we were yet sinners. We were enemies of God. But God, you see, the cheerful giver, spared not His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all who were enemies of God, as says the word of God. And since then, what a cheerful giver He has been. God has been a cheerful giver, and He has been, or rather He has given without our asking. Did we ask to make the covenant of grace? We did not ask. We did not ask God to make the covenant of grace. We did not ask God to elect us. Did you? We did not ask Him to redeem us. These things were done before we were born. We did not ask Him to call us by His grace, the effectual calling. We did not know the value of that call. Why? Because we were all dead in trespasses and sin. But God gave to us freely of His unsought but boundless love. Preeminent grace came to us, outrunning all our desires and all our wills and all our prayers. He first made us pray. He gave us the spirit of supplication, or else we had never prayed. He gave us the will to come to Him, or else we should have remained afar off, distant ourselves from God, hide ourselves from God. It was His love that draws us. He was a cheerful giver to us. And when we went to Him with broken hearts and a contrite spirit, how cheerfully did God give us pardon? How did He run and have compassion upon us and fall upon our neck and kiss us like the father did to the prodigal son? How cheerfully did God bring to us the banquet with music and with dancing because His son that was dead was alive again and he that was lost was found? Friends, if you are in Christ by blood, you have a God who is immutable or unchangeable. He has been a cheerful giver and He continues to be so. We have wanted grace every day and He gives liberally and upbraideth not. When we have been to Him and have and asked Him of an egg, He has never given us a scorpion. We have asked for bread and He has never given us a stone, but He has given us His Holy Spirit to us. What a generous God He is. The generosity of God in providence to some of us, isn't it? And then I like to speak again to those dear sinners who are not saved, who are outside of the kingdom of God. I wish you know how glad God is to give His mercy. He is the most cheerful giver in the universe. You must not think God will grudge you. If you in humility come to Him for pardon of sin, God is ready abundantly to pardon you. If you seek His face, He will listen to the cries of the penitent. He will hearken to the desires of those who forsake their sin and find Christ. If you will but trust the Lord Jesus, you shall find Him the most cheerful giver and the kindest friend that ever you have dreamed of. I want to conclude with this brief mention of the third point, and which is, why should God's people be cheerful giver whom God loves? Why should God's people be cheerful giver whom God loves? There are many reasons, and one of it, I just want to briefly mention a few. First of all that we have, we owe to Him. All that we have, we owe to Him. The Lord Jesus Christ took us up when we were naked, blind, and down and out. So we came, so that's how we came into this world. But He took us up when we were more than naked, filthy and defiled. And so we became, through our sin and through our original depravity, but Christ took us from off the dunghill, yes, from out of the fire itself, and make us what we are, and wrap us with what? With the royal robe, with His royal robe of righteousness, and give us His mercy. God deserves all and more than all that we can give Him. What shall we do our Savior to praise? What shall we not do? May the Lord help us. Lord, and may we pray this prayer. Lord, as everything is due to You, take everything and let us make no reserve. And then I would like to suggest to you, recall continually that you are saved. You, when you might have been damned, condemned to the lake of fire. You, when you have no will at one time to be saved. You are saved now. Your sins are blotted out. The righteousness of Christ is your royal robe. You are saved, and the Holy Spirit dwells in you. You are a priest, and you are a king unto God. You are an heir of heaven. The royal blood runs in your veins. So will you not live above the lives of others? Will you not seek by these high dignities, this priceless blessing, and these astounding favors to consecrate yourselves, your spirit, soul, and body to Him who is your Father in heaven, your God? And last of all, I just want to mention a few only, as I said. Why should God's people be cheerful givers whom God loves? Because we have need of a giving God. And therefore, let us be cheerful givers. God loves a cheerful giver, and you see His claims upon you. Go your way, brethren, in this new week and in the weeks to come. Give largely of yourself, give largely of your heart, give largely of your whole being, of your soul, your thought, your mind, as God gives to you. Go your way and scatter as you can, as the Lord enable you, as the Lord prosper you, as the Lord endow you with all the various spiritual gifts and talents, that you may scatter, for God first give you the means. Go your way, brethren, you who are gainfully employed in your various vocation. Give according to your ability. Give, you who are rich, because you are rich. And give, you who are poor, because you cannot afford to get poorer. And you are likely to do so unless you offer God His portion. Only have your first, or rather, only first of all, make sure, give of your heart. Give of your heart, first of all. Have you put your trust in Jesus Christ? If not, this sermon is not for you. But if your hearts belong to the Lord Jesus and have been washed in His precious blood, let this verse sink deep into your ears and deeper still into your hearts. God loves or loveth a cheerful giver. May the Lord help us. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, indeed, help us not to forget. Help us to be mindful always. Help us to constantly recall and reflect and recollect how good and gracious You are. All that we have, all that we are, all that we can give comes from You. We have nothing to give. We are able to give because You first gave to us. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to humble ourselves before Thee and to keep this in mind, and that Your Spirit will bring to remembrance in our hearts and in our minds that we are debtors to You, in that we have nothing to give. We came into this world naked, and naked shall we return. And so we pray that as you have so graciously given to us and bless us and prosper us, help us to give. But more importantly, help us to give our hearts to thee. Help us to give our all to thee. Help us to give our whole being and our soul to thee. And help us to give our hearts, and not only as unto God, but also to our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ, that we may minister one to another for thy glory and thy name's sake. And so, Father, we pray that in this new week, that thou will go before us and go with us and help us, that we will enable by thy Spirit and give us the grace that we may live our lives in this new week that will glorify thy holy name and to enjoy thee. Wherever we may be, at our place of work, at our place of study, in our school, or wherever we may be, we may live our lives that will magnify the name of Christ. Now, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, the love of God, our Heavenly Father, and the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit rest and continue with each one of us now and forevermore. Amen.